Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Real Flower Company for all of your luxury flower needs.
It's the Pompey Pubcast that combines the beers and the blues.
Barros for Pompey, round Kuschak goes down, penalty to Potts with an old Trafford. Barros tripped by Thomas Kuschak, who sent off Montari do the job. He steps up, left footed, scores for Pompey. They lead at Old Trafford in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Jamal Lowe's onside, the flag's deep down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Portsmouth Football Club are promoted to League One.
Curtis across the face, a goal. Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock! Parker with a heading back to Wembley!
This is Three Lads in the Pub.
Episode 17 of Three Lads in the Pub. I will be honest, I did start recording again because I thought it was episode 16. Cheers, Jeff, for pointing that one out. How are we doing? Jeff Harris alongside myself, Liam Howes, and Ryan Stillwell back at one of our favourite pubs, the British Queen, on a Sunday night. Some music playing in the background, good atmosphere in this amazing pub. Good to be back, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. You?
All right, shattered. Long weekend.
You look it.
Yeah, no. Long weekend, but yeah, good to be here chilling with a Old Mount cider I've gone for, obviously. I was going to go for a fruit shoot. A pineapple and raspberry. What have you gone for?
A bit of neck oil IPA.
Okay.
With a very interesting glass.
It's a snazzy glass, isn't it? I've never seen anything like that. Very nice. Mr. Stillwell.
I've got a rare pint of lager on me. I've gone with the Tiger.
Okay. Did you have any Guinness this week?
No, I didn't even try.
What? On St. Patrick's Day, you didn't have a Guinness. I fully expected you to say...
He's Scottish, not Irish.
Yeah, but come on, you love a Guinness.
I do love a Guinness. I do actually have a Guinness in my house that I forgot to have. But man's been busy. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, it has been. And it's been a busy week for our own personal lives. It's also been a shit week for Portsmouth Football Club. Not great, Jeff.
Is that the end of the episode? Summed it up in three words.
Wow. There's no sugarcoating.
3 minutes in the pub.
Yeah. As much as people expect us to, would like us to sort of fit their, agenda, shall I say. I'm going to bring that word up. But no, it has just been terrible, isn't it? Sums up the season.
And we said we'd be ideally, if everything went to plan, we would come away with 4 points. We've got 1 point, so... You know, I had us down as a loss against Plymouth and a loss against Wickham. So to come out of that with 1 point rather than zero that I predicted is a bonus. Are our playoff hopes over?
Yeah.
you know.
It, 2 weeks ago, you'd put all your chips in the centre, Lee, and what happened?
I know, but that was tongue-in-cheek.
I think you'll find that was Jeff Harris that said, fuck it, we're getting sick. That was his words. You know, in here.
It was in here,
it's disappointing, though, because Jeff's had a good string of getting results right recently, and the moment he brought into the platform, I was like, no, Jeff, you're on fire. Don't do it, mate. You're doing so well. And then a week later, he's like, yeah, I fucked up.
It was a tongue-in-cheek comment. I was just riding on the crest of emotions after that string of form. But we talked about it. We talked about having a blip. We're clearly in a blip. The strikers aren't finding the back of the net. We're not creating much. Where, you know, silly mistakes are costing us games, dropping points. And we said, if you've got playoff aspirations, you've got to take points off the teams in and around you and above you. You know, you've got to claw those points back. Now, I thought Plymouth were there for the taking, as were Wickham. We just can't find the back of net. Bearing aside some shocking refereeing decisions yesterday, you know, George Hurst is having his shirt ripped off his back. And the ref just goes, yeah, there's nothing in that.
There's not a single angle that doesn't make it look like a free kick. You know, you get some of those fouls where, from the right angle, you see it. No, from every angle, you see it.
It's just absolutely shocking.
Off the back of that, we'll come back to this in a second. Did you see the shithouse retweet from Pompey today? With a picture of George Hurst being tugged back with a shirt. Replica shirt.
Get your hands on a replica shirt, yeah. it's
genius. It's Wadmin.
And that, we've talked about the standard of refereeing in this league. Yeah. And it's a pretty bad game when the main talking points are about the referee. He was just poor.
Yeah. I think for us, you can obviously look to the penalty that was not given on Tuesday night at Home Park. You can look to the red card that was not given to Tafazoli yesterday. What I try to live by in any sport, not just football, if your team is reliant upon refereeing decisions to save your season, then you've not been good enough. I absolutely accept Tafazoli should have been sent off. Cooper should have been sent off Tuesday because obviously it's a last man challenge. But the fact is Pompey are relying on these decisions to save their season. If you'd been good enough to score in the first place, to get on shot on target in the first place, we were told we were going into this week with the season on the line. We walk out of Portman Road with one shot on target. We walk out of Home Park with zero shots on target. And we walk away from Fratton Park with what supposedly was a shot on target.
Yeah, one.
I don't call that ragged header a shot on target. I know the goalkeeper collected it, but from my memory, it was still going wide. So it's not really a shot on target. This is our season on the line here. I know we've played a lot of football. We've got a small team. More on that later. What is the one objective in a football game? Score a goal. Now, we can't even get a shot on target recently, let alone score a try. A goal. What I mentioned tries for. Anyway.
It's almost like you're watching the rugby at Fratton Park instead of football. Who would do that? Who in their right mind would watch a rugby match at Fratton Park? Anyone?
No comment.
No comment. But seriously, there is one... we went through 23 goals in 8 games. And obviously we played Oxford in that run twice. But we also played what you might call ham and eggers, tomato cans, beating up on Shrewsbury, scoring 3 past Fleetwood, slapping 4 past Doncaster in the second half, putting 3 past Crewe. Well done to everyone involved for going out and beating these sides, because you do have to sweep up on these sides when you're chasing. But it goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. Let's see what this side does against anyone that actually matters. Genuinely worth a damn in this division. We're now in our 15th game against a side above us, and we've won 3. The odd dynamic of the past few days, and I know we also talked about the Ipswich game on the last podcast, we can largely ignore that, but the only game we've lost in the past 7 days is the game we were actually at our best performance wise in. We couldn't get near Ipswich. We couldn't get near Wickham. We got near Plymouth time after time after time. We were putting really good chances here, there and everywhere. Our execution against Plymouth on Tuesday was absolutely honking, and then we contrive a way to find a way to lose. What Robertson's doing at the back there, he he is standing with the entire pitch ahead of him. Thompson doesn't know he's got Kamara and I think it's Edwards running in behind him to close him down straight away. Robertson does, and he still plays the ball straight into his feet, 30 yards out, knowing that Kamara and Edwards from two different angles are closing Thompson down. Why are you playing that pass? You've been on the you've been on the field 2 minutes. Sometimes it takes time to acclimate to games. Why are you playing such a suicide pass?
It's basic football, isn't it?
Yeah, you see football. The field, and you're the club skipper. You've got to have that. Not even talking extra sensory stuff, because he can see where the players are. He can see which players are anticipating what's going on. In the end, Bazunu had made a few good saves that night. The defenders had stood tall for the most part. I understand why Ogilvy came on for Denver Hume. He was getting torched at the left wing back position. It was a solid move, if uninspiring going forward. But again, we had chances against Plymouth. We had chances. We either took too many touches in the box, we skewed the effort wide. The best performance in the last 7 days for Pompey, we still found a fucking way to lose it.
It was a good way to lose, though, wasn't it?
Going back to that game, was it a penalty? I think it was.
It's a penalty. The referees even apologised to Cowley. Yeah. Which, you know, all right, thanks.
Can we bank apologies? It's those fine margins that change games, because, you know, that's a penalty. Everything after that incident doesn't happen. We've talked about this several times this season. You know, if a free kick's given in a certain build-up of phase of build-up, the events after that have all changed. They don't happen. So if you go and concede 5 minutes later, that doesn't happen. It's that total sliding doors moment. And games are decided on fine margins and these fine decisions that, quite frankly, the referees are getting it wrong. But there seems to be no improvement in their performances. Yesterday, if there was an assessor in the stand yesterday, that referee isn't refereeing for at least 3 weeks, because his performance was that poor.
What usually happens when we see an adequate referee in League One, they get promoted.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be in the Premier League next week.
It is annoying because the decisions are wrong and we have not been the beneficiaries of these bad calls. But in the same moment, we still haven't done enough to go out there and win these games.
Like you said, you can't rely on them.
The moment.
Decisions not going your way.
You look at yesterday, on around 15-16 minutes, Harness breaks, he runs two-thirds of the pitch, he squares it over to Tunnicliffe, who then pings it back in. Well, even pings it, just cushions it into the 6 yard box.
Walker's offside.
Sure. He doesn't even just put his foot through it. He takes a touch.
But he takes touch into the path of the defender coming back as well. And again, you can see what's coming. Surely, as an instinctive forward, you see what's coming.
You're 6 yards out. Just lash it. That just reminded me of John Marcus at Charlton. That poor touch. And he's just like,
That commentary from Andy Moon must live in every Pompey fan.
He must score!
He must score! He didn't.
I'm sorry. If John Marcus got criticism for that, Tyler Walker deserves everything coming his way after Saturday afternoon. I put it out there yesterday. The guy should not even be anywhere near the squad, let alone the starting 11. I just don't get. Yes, I know he scored in League One for Lincoln before under the Cowleys, and they see a player in him. Clearly, he is a confidence player. He's not. I mean, you spoke about it several weeks ago. He is not going to do it between now and the end of the season. He is a complete waste of time and money. And if the money we are hearing, he is being paid a week to be at Fratton Park, and we were told by Andy Cullen himself, Tyler Walker's wages are equivalent to two of our highest earners that we got rid of, or even three of our players that we got rid of to bring him in.
Well, we know for a fact that Walker was funded by the departure of two other players. The two most recent departures in the squad were John Marquis and Ellis Harrison. Now, if you sprinkle a little bit of change on top of that, you are talking in the region of 8 to 10 grand a week for Tyler Walker, who has scored from 1 yard out against the worst side in the league in 9-10 starts. It's not good enough. We've commented about him before. I said it was a relief to see him score at Crewe.
I've been called harsh.
I like seeing Pompey players score goals. I never want to see a Pompey player fail. I'm also not going to hide from the truth. When Tyler Walker starts, we start with 10 men.
Yeah. Can't argue that.
It is like getting a red card in the first minute.
I literally tweeted a couple of weeks ago that I've seen enough already, and I've been called. I was told it was a bad take. Well, tell me it's a bad take now.
To what end, though, is he still starting, apart from rotation? Because with 8 games left to go in the season, he's unlikely to sign for the club, based on the evidence so far. Now, 8 games left to go in the season. This football club is still pushing the idea of a playoff narrative. You can see it in some of the tweets the players are putting out. You can see it in Cowley's articles to Hampshire Live, the news. They're still buying into a playoff push. Well, Tyler Walker can't be anywhere near it. And if you're building for next season, then build for next season. Aidan O'Brien goes a little bit anonymous in games before providing great little sparks. He's kind of like Brett Pittman in that regard. They're not the same player, but they have similar influences in games where for 85 minutes they're missing, but it's the 5 minutes that they do stuff that makes you go, "Oh, that's
did it at the Accrington game, didn't he?"
Yeah, he didn't do much for that, but then he ran 80 yards and set up Tunnicliffe.
Yeah.
I would build around. Everyone listens or reads my blog, or I used to be on the radio, don't you know? Everyone who knows, there's a mention for the week.
Boring, isn't it? Fucking boring.
Everyone knows. Even after the Fleetwood game, I said, we're going to finish outside the playoffs. I don't care with 8 games to go if you think this is a playoff push. Build for next season. Tyler Walker can't be near this squad because he has no future here and he has no present here.
Honestly, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. I think once the playoffs are mathematically not achievable, we should be bedding in the young players and developing them. Get Dan Gifford back from Bognor. Get him up front. If we're talking about developing a team ready for next season, give him some league minutes.
What have you got to lose?
Give him some league minutes this season. You know, give Jay Mingy a run out in centre midfield. Throw him on for the last 10 minutes. Throw Jurrit White in for the last 10, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Start bedding these players in now. Play Denver Hume at left wing back all the time. If he's our player, put Ogilvy at left centre half. You know, you've got to play these players in their positions ready for next season.
Yeah,
that's the
absolutely.
Only way you're going to develop them.
And it's not just... Yeah, I know people are going, they're talking about Walker again. It's not just him, but he is... He was a marquee signing in January. He was supposed to be the replacement
for
a guy that sounds like marquee. Yeah. But there are other players who have just fallen off entirely. Marlon Romeo is just a shadow of what he was last year. He did something utterly ridiculous on Tuesday night where the ball comes out to him sort of 5 yards from the byline. He drives past the midfielder. Now he's got a half-yard head start, essentially, and he's got a clear right football into the box. Does he put it in? No. He barges shoulders and goes down looking for a free kick. The ball pilfers out for a goal kick. Why? Where's the positive mentality to go beyond a man and believe that you can put a ball into the box? Where's the confidence that you can line up a guy one-on-one and say, I can beat you and deliver? No, he gets half a yard ahead and goes, oh, I'm not sure about this, lads. I'm going down for a free kick. Why? In these big games against good sides where everything's on the line, you've got to believe that you can line up your opposite number, look him in the fucking soul and say, I'm going through you. But we don't do that. We don't look our opposite numbers in the soul and believe we can do them.
Yep.
And Harness as well. He had that purple patch in November, December. His petulance starts to show again. He gets a red card. Should have been sent off at Cambridge. He should have picked up a yellow card yesterday for a petulant shirt pull. Now he's back to 1-5, Marcus Harness. Again, players across the pitch have just dropped their standards and quality overall, and Cowley's listed a few reasons for that. Again, we'll get onto that later. But this was supposed to be the week where we were told we're going to attack this week because everything's on the line. We leave the week with, in my evaluation of the game, 0 shots on target. It's not good enough. Now, that doesn't make Pompey bad overall. It makes us what I've said we are for the entire season, average, because we have the capacity to put in great performances against average sides and shit performances against average sides. We haven't beaten Cambridge this season, for example, but I would say that first half against Burton a few weeks back was brilliant. We got straight into their faces, put them under pressure, and for a resolute, gutsy side that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has implemented, we torched them in that first half. We do good at sweeping up on sides in the bottom. That's why this 2022 run is built on what it is. But we are absolutely inept against top sides. So we're half and half against average teams. We're good against crap teams, and we're awful against good teams. And they almost seem disappointed that we're mid-table. I told you this half a year ago. I got the fucking sack for it and all.
Oh, dear.
I don't know where the surprise is. And we've tried to give Pompey a get-out-of-jail card. We have not said you need to go up this season. Hands up if you said Pompey need to get promoted this season. For the listeners, by the way, there are four people in this room. No one's raised their hand. We've tried to give them a get-out-of-jail card and say, you don't need to go up this season. You just need to build for the next season. And they're still pushing a playoff narrative. You're digging your own hole because you're setting yourself up for a standard you can't possibly meet because you're not good enough. We're trying to help you out with that, but you won't bloody listen.
It's kind of got over my dead body vibes, isn't it? We know it's not going to happen.
We do. Yeah, you're right. We do know it's not going to happen. And it's the hope that kills you.
I know.
You know, week in, week out, 14,000, 15,000 Pompey fans are going to Fratton Park to hopefully see entertaining football, get the right results, see a real team performance where they give it their all. And they're coming up short.
Go out there and prove us wrong and we'll be sat here laughing when Tyler Walker is offside again.
Hell,
he scores like 10 goals for now. Yeah,
we'll even clip it off. On the day of the playoff semi-final first leg, whomever, we'll clip this 10-minute segment and we'll say we got it wrong. But today, you have won 3 games out of 15 against sides above you. And you expect to get out of the division like that? Give me a break.
17 days, though, Jeff, to turn it around and push for this promotion playoff push that we're obviously going for. What do we do in that 17 days?
Send Tyler Walker back in the net.
Yeah, practice your shooting. There's the goal.
And I said this when Jackett was in charge. I think it was on one of the football hours. If your forward line are training against a poor team defensive line, they are going to find the back of the net in training. They will find it 9 times out of 10. Because the defence weren't up to adequate standard. Now, when it comes to a match day, they are going to be up against better defenders. They are going to be up against teams who are going to sit back and put, you know, 11 men behind the ball and be hard to break down. They're not going to really get that in a training environment unless the Cowdies go, right, you know, youth players and all you reserve players, you're going to sit there and make 2 banks of 4 and make it hard to break down. Now, it may take the first team in that training situation 15, 20 minutes to score a goal. I don't know. I don't go down to the training ground and watch that. However, as I said, if your forwards are playing against a second string defensive line, they are going to score. They are going to have a bit of confidence. But on a match day, they ain't going to be up to it.
Yeah.
Just looking into these final games, we've drawn a blank at Portman Road, we've drawn a blank at Home Park, we've drawn a blank at Fratton Park. But it doesn't get easier, because 3 of our final 8 are against 1st, 2nd and 7th.
Someone said to me yesterday, oh, Rotherham lost us Stevenage. Yeah, we're with a chance. No, we're not.
Yeah, then a man sent off in the 35th minute and they lost. Not. It's shocking that you might lose a game with 10 men. And people are going, do you not remember Accrington? Do you not remember we're 10th? What a thing. And people are sort of coming over now to the idea that this is over. Now, I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about the idea that people are coming to our way of thinking, because I want to see Pompey on the bigger stages. Do you think I'm happy going to, you know, Morecambe on Easter Monday? No, I don't want to pay 20 British pounds sterling to stand on a concrete slab getting sworn at by yokels. I want more from life than that, but we ain't getting it. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist.
If you could end the season now, would you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bill, just start next season.
I just don't think there's anything to play for.
But what is also wrong, we've been talking for months about preparing for next season. What is so wrong about trying to apply some optimism to next season? What is so wrong with saying, okay, this one didn't work out for a series of reasons? Just because we're saying it's over and we're not that good a team, it's not necessarily us pining to fail. And you look at these final eight games, we've got 8 games in 26 days. It's a game every 3.2 days. Then we've got a small squad as it is. We've got to play 1st, 2nd, 7th. We've got a couple of other tricky fixtures sat in there as well. Yeah. If we do anything with this run, it will be talked about for years. This will be one of the most iconic runs in Portsmouth history if we do anything out of this.
We haven't got a game for 17 days or so now. That gap between where we are now and the other teams playing could quite significantly lengthen. You've then got the pressure of not only trying to close that gap down even more, you've got the pressure of back-to-back games, 3 games a week, every week, till the end of the season, pretty much. Yeah.
It's got to be demoralising that, going on your scenario, we miss, 2 consecutive Saturdays football? Yeah. So if we're 8 points off the playoffs now, we could be 14 before we kick a ball next.
So you've got to close a 14 closed gap, plus hope the other teams
all drop.
Plus beat 2 teams in the top 2.
Yes. It's so much to ask for. Also, considering all of these factors put in, while we were busy not having a fucking shot on target against Wickham, Oxford, Ipswich and Sunderland all drew. There was your chance to claw 2 points back straight away. We couldn't even have a shot on target.
Every time you get angry, the
door blows the door open.
Tyler Walker there.
And I disagree with people online saying we're crap. We're not crap, because if we were crap...
Oh, we've seen worse.
If we were crap, we would be 16th, 17th, 18th. You know, we'd be like Charlton were a few weeks back when they were really looking a bit uncertain. We're not crap. We're just not very good. We are hodgepodge. We are mediocre.
Hodgepodge. I've not heard that word in years, probably since I was a kid.
We are the town of Skegness.
There's a line, Ryan. There's a line.
Look, it's not absolutely dreadful, but it's just something you forget exists.
See what I mean? The door's just gone again.
Will you shut up, door? So I think people are going a bit too far saying we're rubbish. We're not rubbish. We're just not good enough.
We got to remember, though,
over a 46-game season, you have to be so goddamn good to be in the top 6. And we're not there.
What you can't forget, though, is this is a transition season.
But we're still pushing for the playoffs. The thing is, though, the narrative changing on that. Have you seen, Hayden Carter's tweet or Danny Cowley's articles? They're still talking about a big final push in the last 8 games. Is this a transition season, or do we genuinely think we're in a playoff race? They switch the narrative every couple of months to suit the current zeitgeist, the current form book.
Honestly, from what I've seen on social media, people I've spoken to, Pompey fans... The only people that are positive of this playoff push now are the players and the manager. I mean, you get the occasional.
Do you think they're trying to create a siege mentality to get over the line?
Fair play for them for give it a go. Prove us wrong. If they go out all guns blazing
Don't get me wrong, the Cowleys are hardly going to come out and go, yeah, the season's over.
No, of course they're not.
But just in Eric's interview the other week, he said, do they expect results? Yes. Now, Danny Cowley has always said, give them 3 transfer windows. That, again, was alluded to in Eric's interview, where he said, you need 3 transfer windows to build the spine of your team. Okay, we're happy with that. This summer, they have got to have the summer transfer windows of all windows and not go through, I'm going to say his name just for Ryan's sake, the Scott Twine scenario of last summer.
He's so good.
it's been about four or five episodes, he hasn't mentioned it last summer,
where we've identified a player, and yet we can't go and get that player.
Yeah.
You know, now, it's quite easy. We could sit here and go, okay, what players out of the top end of League Two, mid-table League One, would we want at Portsmouth next season, and look at when they're out of contract? That's easy to do. That is, it is, anyone could do that. The hard part is going, these are the finances in place, this is what we're going to offer you, these are the incentives, do you want to come and sign for us? We are not this big club anymore. We are not this big pool of, like, Pompey are a massive club in League Two, League One. You know, we've got the better players. There are still going to be some players out there who go, yeah, I want to go play for them. But it's not a given. Just because we're interested in them, why? What's the incentive coming to us?
We no longer appeal as a big club because the Championship has essentially burst its banks as a river and seeped into League One. There are now clubs in this division whose attendance is double ours.
Sunderland!
whose trophy cabinet contains European Cups. We are not the big fish in the pond right now. We're in a traffic jam. We're in a traffic jam of Rotherham, Wigan, Sunderland, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, Charlton. There are so many appealing clubs in this division that would suit any up-and-coming player looking to make a name for themselves. We're no longer unique in that category. This isn't the League Two season under Paul Cook, where, oh, it's us or Crawley. Well, no. We may as well be a South Coast Shrewsbury now, because we're not special anymore. We have no divine right.
Not when you've got teams like Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, spending big sums of money. Wigan spending big sums of money. You know, would Wigan be where they are this season if they had last season's budget? Probably not.
Definitely not. They're in administration.
You know, you look at the teams coming down. Derby, Barnsley, Peterborough. Peterborough are going to be back next season.
Peterborough are always like a top six League One side.
You know,
Derby are an unknown quantity. What? But if they can solve their issues heading into League One, then they become another force.
I think they're on a still downward spiral.
But the problem being, if you look at the top, say, the top 10 teams in League One, and I include Pompey in that, only three out of those 10 can go up. So you've still got Championship quality teams in League One. It's still going to be hard next season.
Yeah, exactly. This is the point I tried to make. It in a 46 game season where you are coming up against these competitors, these rivals, you have to be better than these great historic time old institutions over 10 months of football. It is not a season on Football Manager that you can bash out in 3 days. This is real life tough stuff that we're competing against. There is no quick fix to all of this, but there is also no hiding from what we're falling short of. And what we're falling short of, yes, we've got a good defensive core. One of them's probably leaving in the summer. Our goalkeeper's leaving in summer because he doesn't belong to us. Midfield needs improving. The forward line essentially needs building from scratch. So heading into next season, where you're taking on these grand competitors that have won more than us, that are attended more than us, you're still looking at rebuilding two-thirds of your side.
It's going to be a tough season.
It is
what
tough.
A cheerful fucking episode this
but
is.
This isn't meant to be negative.
No, I'm trying.
This is just painting the realities of how hard it is to be the best of the best. There's a difference between best of the best and best of the rest. And right now, we're fourth of the best of the rest. We're not even the best of the rest. We're not even seventh.
No.
And going back to Plymouth, you see Joe Morel's a good player. He plays for his country. He played for his countries at the Euros. Louis Thompson is a good player who's overcoming his match fitness issues. But that Plymouth midfield, Panucci, Camara, both games against us, Fratton Park, Home Park,
absolutely
unbelievable.
Immense.
He wasn't even man of the match Tuesday. They gave it to Ryan Edwards. He was brilliant as well. But I watched Camara involved in every single phase of play. Never stopped running, relaying the ball, constantly moving around. And he's not even a championship player. He is a better midfield. He's been a better midfielder in both games we've played against Plymouth this season. And Plymouth are only in the League One playoffs. So he's already something, for the most part, above what we have. And really, they're only four places above us. This is how fine the margins are, but how much building you have to do. It's not a quick fix, and I sympathise to an extent with the Cowleys and the owners, because League One isn't what it was 5-6 years ago. But you've got to be conscious of that now. You can't have the arrogance to have won 3 games from 15 against sides above you, then enter your final 8 games, 3.2 days per game, playing 1st, 2nd, and 7th, and going, yeah, one last playoff push. What are you, have you not been watching? What? This.
I get they're just trying to spread a bit of positivity, but I'd just use different words.
I would prefer realism.
We keep going.
Know some. I would genuinely prefer realism.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't got. We talked about it earlier. We haven't got a game for 2 weeks, and that was Bolton and Rotherham. They've been rearranged, obviously, midweek games. Out the next 4 games after that, we've got Cheltenham, Lincoln, Morecambe, Gillingham. I've got them down as 4 wins. Now, I think that's if we don't get 4 wins there, it's definitely over. We won't, you know, reach any place in the playoffs. If we reach those four games, we are still in with a shout. But then we've got to play Wigan at home. And then we've got Sheffield Wednesday. Now, the other week when I said, yeah, fuck it, I'm all in, we're going to get 6th place, I said it will go down to the Sheffield Wednesday game. It still could, but we've got to rely. It's not in our destiny anymore. It's not in our control.
And we need favours.
We need the teams at the bottom to be beating the teams above us, the teams in mid-table to be drawing. There's too many variables going on, and you can only affect games and control what you can control. You shouldn't be going into the latter stages of the season reliant on other teams to do you favours. That's what relegation teams do.
Yeah.
That's what teams in the bottom 3-4 do.
Yeah.
They rely on the teams in mid-table and above them to beat the teams in and around them or below them to do them a favour. Not the opposite way, getting that place into the playoffs.
Yeah, I certainly believe there are players in this squad that can play a pivotal part in next season, and that can help us compete on an even keel with those sides in the top 6. I believe there are players in this squad that can help us to that end. But to the same extent, I know we all have differing footballing philosophies. I said last week that every minute you spend not preparing for the future is a minute lost. I don't see what the point is in chasing this season. I genuinely rather would, like you play Denver Hume at left wing back every game. We bought him to be the starter. You may as well get embedded into this team and intimately familiar with what Cowling wants to do. You may as well play Aidan O'Brien in a multitude of positions to see where he would naturally fit into Cowley going forward. Is it behind the front two? Is it up top? Just give him different chances to prove himself. Because I'll give you an example. Gassner had me. It's all well and good scoring a hat trick against Havant in a game that's 50% intensity, but he shat the bed in the league. Now, you're getting grown man's football in a pressure-free scenario against sides who are still playing for something. This is the best situation for a footballer to come in pressure-free against good sides and play football. And then a manager gets to look at them in real time in these games. Not against Havant, not against Bogner. Yeah. Jay Minky would be in the same boat, because obviously he's out this summer. Does he have a part to play next season? There's no point gambling and giving him a contract because he looked okay against our inevitable friendly against Crawley. Now, Jay Minky in back-to-back games against Morecambe on Easter Monday and whoever we've got Good Friday, you know, that's a tough weekend for a football player. You're playing Friday through Monday. The other games are really long, the second longest away trip of the season. That's where you find out about the stones of a player. These are the situations I want us to be involved in. And I don't do that from a negative viewpoint of, well, the season's over because we're crap. We're not crap. This is me trying to actively build for our future. I don't see what's wrong with that. I think that's almost a positive, if you will. Why not use this season to get a jump start on every other club in the division for next season?
Definitely. I said it, I can't remember what episode it was. I said that's what Lincoln done a couple of seasons ago. They gambled in the January and brought their players in the January ready for the summer and gave them half a season. And they went the following season, they went on that really good run. You know, they just missed out. Look, come Lincoln game, if the playoffs are gone, get him out there. Yeah. Get Mingy playing. Call Dan Gifford back. Get Hume playing.
And also play Ollie Webber.
This is the next subject I was going to bring up, because Lorraine Wells has sent us a tweet tonight replying to our tweet about your drink, Jeff. And she said, what is your thoughts on the goalkeeper situation? She says, obviously, Bazzuni's been outstanding for us, but will obviously not be going up. But we'll not be going up and we're stuck in League One again. Was it really wise to let Craig, who is a really good League One goalkeeper, go? We will need to sign another goalkeeper for next season.
I don't think
we will.
I don't think Craig fitted the Cowley's philosophy of playing out from the back.
No, but more to the point of obviously signing another goalkeeper, I personally can't see us doing that. Obviously, we sent Bass out on loan to get him ready for next season, in my opinion, and Webber will be fighting for his place. That's how I see that one panning out.
Yeah.
Or do you think that's the end of Bass? If he doesn't start as number one next season, he's gone.
Bass has to stay or go next season. Yeah. He has to be number one in August, or he has to be number one somewhere else.
Yes.
We cannot keep kicking this can down the road.
Don't get me wrong, I think Bass will become a really good goalkeeper. Is he ready yet? He's got the ability. When called upon, he's in the main delivered what he's
asked
to do. Didn't
he play half a season for us? He started, didn't he, pretty much?
Yeah, McGillivray was dropped for a while, so he started about a 15-game stretch of games where he came in. During that time, we had that really good, I think it was 9 consecutive wins. That matched the post-war record, and he started in that run. So he was part of a good run. So he has held down the number one spot before temporarily. But again, going back to my comment of seasons of 46 games long, it's an awful toil on a player's body.
I just don't, and on their
mental capacity.
Yeah, I just don't think at the moment Bass commands his 18-yard box. Do I see him as the ball-playing goalkeeper the Cowleys want to sweep up at the back? No. Is he a capable shot stopper and come in and catch him for crosses? Yes. So Bass has got to develop his game and he's got to take it up 2 or 3 notches to be the number one for next season to fit their philosophy. I cannot see the Cowleys changing their philosophy. I haven't seen anything.
If they do, a very valid question would be asked, what the hell were you doing this season?
Yeah.
You know, if you change it after what you're trying to do this season, we literally have wasted a season.
If by sheer fluke we get Bazzuni, which I don't think we will next season, he'll be playing in the Championship
at
least.
He has to be.
He, for his own development and for Man City's personal kind of development for him as well, they're going to want him to be playing in the Championship with a view to the season after being their number two goalkeeper. Now, Man City may see enough this season to suggest that he could do that at Portsmouth, as long as Pompey are challenging up the top third of the table. Very unlikely, but it's a possibility.
If we go up, do you think we'll keep him on loan?
I think if we go up, we would.
Fuck's sake.
We have to. But
Why did I say that?
The question surrounding
going up.
Yeah, exactly.
The question surrounding Bass, we need to have a definitive answer this summer, because at this stage we know what Bass is good at and we know what he's weak at. He is brilliant at what I would call a radial shot stopper. So anything, if you stood upright and you stick your arms out and you made a circle with your arms, he is one of the best radial shot stoppers in the division. His close-range reflexes are absolutely extraordinary. Do I trust him to get all the way to the corners, though? I'm not sure.
No.
Now, he's got a long leg on him. That guy absolutely hoofs a ball.
I've just had a flashback. But
can he ping a ball 50 yards straight into the feet of an on-moving Connor Ogilvy? See, that's different than having a strong leg. Now you're talking about having an accurate leg. This is where this decision needs to be made. Because all of a sudden, if you're getting rid of Alex Bass, that's another player you need to sign. We're already talking about shipping out most of these players, whether they be loanies, players we're getting rid of contracts. Are you adding a goalkeeper to that as well? A number one goalkeeper at that. So this summer has to be the summer we answer the Bass question.
What if I just had a flashback from
Oxford?
Fuck me. We were there together, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah, but in his defence,
Ellis Harrison
what a penis.
In his defence, you clearly hear Bass shout keepers. Yeah. Come for the ball, and Ellis Harrison still went for it.
To the point where if an opposition player's done that to Bass, it's a free kick.
Exactly. Like a ball in the China
Harrison
shop.
Wipes him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a question we need answering this summer, and it needs answering soon.
Yeah.
Because you can't go searching for a number one goalkeeper in July.
There you go.
Those are a commodity at this level.
You need to be identifying the player now.
Yes.
And having talks now.
Yeah.
And bringing those players in.
Should we get on to our favourite top feature? Hold on. Have you thought of a feature yet, Jeff? Because that was your challenge for the week.
No.
Oh, is that what it's called? No.
No. No.
Right. What is going on with that door?
I think we're haunted.
There is no bloody wind here.
I think I'm going to do best Pompey comedy feature.
Yeah. we'll leave that for the next week. But Ryan's genius feature that has been going from day one. Dub and din of the week. If that somehow still closes, Aaron there just put a chair in the door.
Actually, we do have a guest with us tonight. We've got Aaron, good mate of Liam's, listens to all the podcast. Aaron, we don't have a jingle for Dub Din of the Week.
Can you sing?
Do you want the way you just? Oh no!
Aaron has now left the room.
Yeah, Jeff, you can make the jingle if you want.
This feature, Dub and Din of the Week, of course.
I'll tell you about jingles. Know what I've had in my head all week? I mistakenly clicked on a TikTok video on Facebook, and all I've got is that fucking very good, very nice Hello Chicken nugget.
Going through my head.
Dub and Din, very good, very fresh.
Hello, Nicki Minaj.
I've had that going through my head for the last 3 days.
You are looking very good, very nice, Jeff, tonight. Dub and Din of the Week brought to you by Lumberjack Supps. Cheers to Matt for sponsoring this episode. Over to the mastermind behind the feature, Mr. Ryan Stillwell.
Well, thank you, Mr. House.
Conversion scored. Carry on.
Few contenders for din this week. One being
loads.
Local radio. second din of the week probably goes to us fans that it really is the hope that gets you. Even I, for a tiny moment at the Plymouth game, because we were not actually that bad at Plymouth in terms like building up and getting into Plymouth's face. Even I, for a brief moment, the atmosphere was unbelievable Tuesday night.
Was that because of the light show?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, Plymouth are at dinner of the week for their third tier light show.
I saw people praising that. Goodness, it was cringy as hell.
But the atmosphere was unbelievable Tuesday. The fans that went did not stop, and I was in amongst it. And for a few moments, I allowed myself to believe we can have this game. We can go out and beat this lot. We didn't. I felt like I did on the way home because I allowed myself to believe. And I don't do that. I don't believe. I'm a miserable cynic. So I was a contender for that. Din of the week, though, when I looked back at it, it has to be Pompey. Just the manager, the players, they get a collective din of the week. And here's why. Monday, we get an article from Danny Cowley saying we need to attack the week because we've got a break after this. We're playing two very good sides. We're chasing. We need to attack the week. The result of the attacking the week is 1 point and zero shots on target. What attack? Are you taking the piss? What attack is that?
Maybe it was an Italian attack where they reverse all the time.
Yeah, they retreat. Yeah. And
sorry, we meant defence.
Then comes all that, we're still alive, we'll have a break, then we'll get back on it. Shut up. Yeah. No, it's... stop spreading this narrative. You don't need to. We're not asking you to go out on a miraculous playoff run. We almost don't want you to, because we want to build for next season. Then all the excuses start to come out. Oh, the schedule's ridiculous. Well, funnily enough, the schedule got released in June. I know when the season finished. The season was always finishing on April 30th. Ah, well, we've got such a small squad. Yes, of your choosing. You chose to operate with a small squad.
And didn't they come out and say they wanted to sign international players so they can get extra breaks throughout the season?
Exactly. So you go out and sign internationals to get international breaks, but when international breaks come in and the season ends on April 30th, because we have to have a shorter season this year because we've got a World Cup in Qatar this winter, you're going, oh, the scheduling's awful. Well, you knew about this.
I love when he gets angry. It turns me on.
You knew about this. These are poor excuses. You opted to have a poor squad. Your players keep getting sent off for stupid little things. Like, Marcus Harness, what are you doing with these silly little red cards? He should have had two red cards in 2022 alone. That's six games, or eight games including the games he gets sent off in, suspended because of petulance. It's no good moaning about small squads when you chose to have a small squad. It's no good complaining about internationals when you signed players for that purpose. It's no good moaning about schedules when, by the way, sometimes the weather's a bit shit in winter. Games might get called off. And you know the season's ending early because of the World Cup in winter. I knew that. I'm not worth a damn in the football world. I'm some fat cunt who sat on local radio for 2 years. I've never played the game. I don't have coaching badges. I'm not a qualified expert on football. But I know how seasons work out. I know the toil that it takes on players. I know international call-ups and injuries get in the way. But you opted to have a smaller squad. You opted to have a squad full of international players. And the players going, well, we were a bit flat today. Well, you're the only ones who can control that. I can't come down pitch side and tell you to get your arse in gear. You've got to line up your opponent and believe you can beat them, because that's how you beat good teams in this division. Stop coming out with these excuses. We go to every game and we back you. And we back you when you put the fucking graft in. We lost 3-2 to Oxford in the 96th minute. And what was the first thing that happened when Cam Brannigan smacked that ball in from 25 yards? We kept fucking singing because you put everything on the line in that game. And we believed in you. What the fuck was that game against Wickham?
He's reminded me.
These excuses are shit.
Piers Morgan vibes there, isn't it? Proper rant that was.
We back this team to the hill when we see them lay everything on the field. Because I was part of that Oxford crowd that day. And genuinely, the moment that third goal went in 96 minutes, every single fan's arms raised in song. Song. We back this team when we see it all on the field. You told us you were going to attack this week. We were the sceptics saying the season was over. But you said, no, no, stick with us. We're attacking this week because it's not over. You didn't have a shot on target. Don't take the piss. Dins. I love you. I'll see you at Bolton. And I'll be there at Morecambe. And I'll be there at Cheltenham. £26 to stand on a pitch that's good to firm in places. Nice little horse racing joke there for you all. Do you know why? Because I love this football club. But sometimes you fucking wind me up.
I think we need a new feature of Sofa Dub and Dinner, Ryan's rant.
Honestly,
can we get paramedic down here to check his blood pressure?
I love this club. I love these players. But you need to stop winding us up with these false narratives. Just lay it all on the line and let's see what happens. That's as simple as it gets.
So who's dinner of the week?
Pompey at dinner of the week. Pompey, everyone.
I'm joking, right. I can't argue with that one again, Jeff. Every week he gets us, doesn't he?
You know, football can be complicated, yes? We can complicate with strategies,
but I always say,
from a fan's perspective, it is go out there, lay it on the line for 90, we'll back you the whole way, and we'll see what happens. It is as simple as that.
Whether I've coached football, whether I've coached hockey, I've always said
rugby.
No, never played rugby in my life. Not interested in egg chasing. The sport, the sport is overcomplicated by thinking about it too much. At the end of the day,
oh, that was a great example of that in the Ipswich game.
It is
taking Tunnicliffe off corners because Ipswich can counter. Well,
but if you score, they can't counter, can they?
Exactly. If you put a poorer quality of ball into the box, they're more likely to counter because you put the wrong sodding guy on corners. Again, this goes back to what you have to believe that you can deliver. You have to believe that you I can just see,
You know, I was going to say Roy Hodgson, but he probably would have done it. You know, Glenn Hoddle in the 98 finals, David Beckham can't take corners just in case the other team go up the other end and break.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. What a ridiculous comment you've to got, actually make.
From players to manager, you've got to believe that you're good enough to do it.
You know, the aim of putting your best corner taker or you know, set piece specialist on those kicks is to score a fucking goal. You know, Pep Guardiola said it before. You know, you don't need a plan B if you're so good at plan A.
Exactly.
And if your plan A is sat on the edge of the 18-yard box defending space just because they're going to counter, I'm sorry, you're overthinking about it. Your objective should be, we want to put this ball in the back of the net, therefore I want my best set piece taker taking that free kick or corner.
Yeah. And just to round off dinner of the week, again, we're moaning about scheduling, we're moaning about squad sizes. We wouldn't be in this position if we hadn't got on two honking runs beforehand. We're not in this position because we have a small squad. We're in this position because we lost 2-1 at home to Cambridge, then 2-1 away at Burton. We're not in this position because we didn't get a penalty against Plymouth. We're in this position because we drew 0-0 at Doncaster in August and drew 1-1 at home to Cheltenham. We're not in this position because Sean Williams fractured a vertebrae against Charlton. We're in this position because Lewis Wing was too complicated to sign on the final day of the transfer window before he signed on the final day of the transfer window to the side we've just played yesterday. We're in this position because of our own failings.
Our own fruition.
Do you know what? I'm going to miss Pompey over these next 2 weeks. I'm going to love the 2 weeks off, but at the same time, I want to get back in the stands because I want to give these guys my full backing for 90 minutes. But I'm not going to hide from the fact that you're making excuses for your own errors. We're all, and it comes from a fundamental human level that we are all flawed. We all make mistakes. There is not a single damn person
and
on this
planet.
And we
can accept that as long as
you own it. You own it. And you make conscious efforts to reach those standards again. And sometimes you fall short of those standards. But what makes you a good, conceited person in life is that every time you slip from those standards, you do your utmost to get back to it. You don't hide from your errors. You don't make excuses for them. You hold your hands up and say, right, we've got this wrong.
My only fear is we're in a bad run of form now. We know what Pompey are like after they have a break, you know, the COVID break, the other international breaks. I just think this is gonna impact us even more now.
It will, and
the only saving grace is the congested fixture list that the counties are moaning about, because games will be coming every 2-3 days.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that you would hope with that run of 4 easier games that we can get up to speed a lot quicker to then face those harder games.
And there was one Cowley comment that will always ring true, and I will always advocate, is that we have to remember that footballers are humans and they do get tired and they do get worn down. I have no issue with that, but that, again, that's partially your fault because you've made them a small squad and you've put them up against this schedule. Now, you go back a few episodes in the January transfer window, I was the one saying I understand it if John Marquess moved all the way down here to be with his family and does want to move all the way back north. In the end he did, but I'm the one advocating, saying, no, Cowley's right. If a player doesn't want to move 250 miles and move with his entire family, I respect that on a human level. And I respect that over 46-game, 10-month season, I respect that players get worn down physically and mentally. But you as a team, not just a manager, but as a team, you've got to find ways to get your people through it. You've got to find ways to ease the burden on your players. One way of easing the burden is being consistent enough throughout the season that you're not chasing one of the best runs in the club's history to make it back to relevance. We're asking too much of a human toll and a human cost now on these players to go above and beyond.
It's
almost not their fault. If they're not good enough, you can't all of a sudden ask them, these flawed humans, such as we all are, to be good enough. You can't just turn on a switch.
You can see it now. Say Pompey finished 10th at the end of the season. You can see the excuses now. It's a transition season. That's what it'll be.
But a month ago they're going, well, we're still alive, we're still pushing
that's
for the playoffs.
Which one is it? It's a transition season.
Yeah.
We weren't ready to go up. We weren't this that now. Now there's only one league position that matters throughout a 46 game season, and that is where you finish on the final day. That is the only league position that matters over a 46 game season, where you finish. Now if you finish 8th, 10th, you know, 9th, bloody 11th, 15th, you weren't good enough. You weren't good enough over the course of the season, and there will be aspects and windows and periods where we weren't good or were good, but over the course and duration of 46 games, you're either good enough or you're not.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be in the latter.
And this is why I'm annoyed with it, because as you rightly say, if we fall short in April, which we will, they'll come out and say, oh, it's transition. You know, there's a lot of mitigating factors that have affected us. But a month before that, they're talking about playoff pushes and being good enough and chasing. It annoys me because this is a professional group of people who excel at their profession to the point that they are called elites at their game. But they can't commit to a stance. Now, little old me, not worth a damn, I've backed my stance. 3 clean sheet victories to start the season. I didn't waver. That November-December period, I didn't waver. 23 goals in 8 games, I didn't waver. Now, how is it that I can back myself and back my beliefs more than this squad can? Why am I able to stand by my perceptions more than this team who switches narratives to suit whatever the current mood is? You've got to believe in whatever you're chasing. And if you aren't doing anything this season, then own it.
Bit late than scheduled. Dub of the week, please.
it's going to be tough.
Hell, we still on Din.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough to beat Peaches.
Yeah.
But
she was well chuffed for that, by the way.
I've got a little bit alternative for this one. And again, there are a few contenders for dub this one. Dub of the week contenders go to whoever planned Plymouth as a city, because one surefire way to prevent the people leaving your city is to actually make sure they can't leave your city. Getting out of Plymouth is an absolute nightmare, by the way, if you happen to own a vehicle. Another contender for Double of the Week goes to Man City. That's another trophy this year for scum. Thank you very much.
They love a 4-1, don't they?
But they do love a 4-1 in the FA Cup. But you have to remember that Southampton will always have a bet than us, because they currently hold the prestigious trophy of getting to play Brighton and Hove Albion in the Premier League twice a year. Congratulations on being 14th all the time. Now, Double of the Week, alternative, I'm going with Pompey Boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, obviously, the main story we'll get onto in a second, but I also want to give an honourable nod to Mark Chamberlain. He fought at Wembley Arena last night, slapped Jeff Afori around, stopped it in 5. It was a good win for Mark. I watched it on BT. He's done well. So that's Pompey victory number 1. Victory number 2 goes to Mikey McKinson, obviously, who's had a wild week of it. Virgil Ortiz, he's flown out to America. We even had Jordan Cross from the news go out to the States to cover the fight with Virgil Ortiz. This was a big chance for Mikey. Virgil Ortiz pulls out. You know, it's an unfortunate situation. We're not going to dig on the guy for it. So McKinson's in the States, and he's saying, I'll fight anyone. Give me a fight. I'm hungry for a fight. Then he gets Jesus Perez, who's scheduled for the fight. That is all of a sudden off as well. McKinson is still in the States after his second cancelled fight in a number of days, going, I will fight anyone. Put a guy in the ring with me. I want to put the gloves on and go toe-to-toe.
At one point, Jordan Cross almost got in the
ring. Jordan Cross was getting a bit lippy, you know, trying to get involved in the ring.
Proper Pompey lad, Jordan. You don't want to mess with him.
Eventually, in the end, he gets Alex Martin, it was he got in the end. His third scheduled fight since he actually made it out to the States. Beat him on points. despite some wonky commentary from the biased US team, deserved his victory. So I think in a week where Pompey haven't landed much on target, Pompey boxers were landing everything on target, and two well-earned victories.
Yeah, well done. Do you think the commentary is wonky because they're watching something else at the same time?
I think they're watching football.
American football.
Well done to the dub of the week. Cheers again, sponsored by Lumberjack Supps. You can follow them on Twitter now. They've made an account. Cheers again to Matt for sponsoring our dub and din of the week segment, which lasted a very long time.
It did last a long time.
But I'm all for it because it was great. Cheers, Ryan. Jeff, think of a feature. We definitely.
I'm going to do a very good, very nice feature.
Right.
And
I'm going
and you just laughed it off.
It could be. I mean, you could say.
I don't know.
Do too good, too bad, but it's kind of dub and din, isn't it? But we ask, obviously, for comments regarding, you know, your feelings on the last few games on Twitter. We put one up saying, what have you missed? I've got to be careful what I read here. Not a lot, says Phil. I've got to be so careful here.
It's normally me that put those comments out. I was that fucking annoyed on Saturday. I walked home and I went, I can't be arsed.
Yeah.
I then one of you two done
it. I was disappointed I got annoyed, though, because obviously I haven't seen anything that's new to me, because I know what this side is. We're streaking. We don't beat good teams. I'm annoyed because I got annoyed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it doesn't surprise we unbeat Wigan, does it? It doesn't surprise we unbeat Plymouth. I just get annoyed at the whole false hope thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it does me in.
Jake Myers says, credit to Wickham today, which I never thought I'd ever see. That was the best. That had to be the least Wickham performance I've seen from them. No time wasted, no shithousery, no overly physical play, bar the assault on Hurst.
Do you know what? We actually have more cards than Wickham this season. Mm. I don't know what it is after the game. But before the game, they had 58 cards total this season. We had 65. They're not necessarily a outright dirty side.
You know, when we played them there, Gareth Ainsworth came out with a comment of something like, that's just a measure. Is that a measure of how far we've come as a club or how far Portsmouth have dropped?
God, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
Christ. Yeah, remember that comment?
Yeah.
On Saturday's performance, it is most certainly how far we have dropped.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a point. He even goes back to when Joey Barton was Fleetwood manager and he just went, Portsmouth actually is an average club when you think about it.
Average FC.
He called it like 2 years in advance.
Average FC, 13 for me. So the tweet was, what have we missed? Martin's reply was, Walker pretending to be a footballer. Which did tickle me a bit.
Walker is going to turn out to be one of those players where it works out anywhere but here.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm putting to bed a narrative that we don't give our strikers enough service.
I'm calling it now.
Okay, so how does Joe Ironside score goals for Cambridge? How does Cole Stockton score goals for Morecambe? They don't get much service, but they put the ball in the back of the net. Good strikers score goals after one or two chances. Not 5-6.
June the 7th, Tyler Walker signs for Pompey.
We go live to Three Lads in the Pub.
Hi, Tyler, nice to meet you.
Again, as we said earlier, we don't want a Pompey player to fail, but we see what we see, you know.
So honestly, there was not much more to say. I mean, it was people were just saying not a lot, shambles, etc., etc. Just a generally shit week, to be honest, for Pompey. Some good tunes, though, on the jukebox.
Oh, yeah.
It's been on the
good form tonight, yeah.
It's been very good. Anything else you want to add in, lads, before we have a 2 week break? Are we off?
I'd say, 17 day break before we go to Bolton on a Tuesday night. I'd actually just say to everyone, enjoy it. Enjoy the break. We're unlikely to do a podcast for the next couple of weeks. We might do a space or whatever, but we're unlikely to come down to a pub.
It's completely irrelevant. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to my first England game during the break.
Are you going to the Switzerland game?
No, I'm going to go to the Ivory Coast game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've never been to an England game, and I've always wanted to, and I thought, you know what? Can't be any worse than going to Fratton Park. So I'm off to Wembley to watch that. Looking forward to that. But yeah, like you say, just enjoy some time of not being pissed off at Portsmouth Football Club.
The thing is, it 17-day break, you'll spend the first... I reckon you'll spend the first, and this will definitely be me because I know what I'm like. I'll spend the first 12-13 days delighted for the break. But the final few days, I will be itching to get to a Pompey game.
Yeah.
I'll be itching to get in the stands and sing songs and back this team. I'm always like it, but
and good luck to the internationals, obviously, for Pompey playing. I imagine Joe Morrell will definitely play.
Gavin Bazunu, yeah. Ollie Webbers for the under-21 Northern Irish team. So yeah, just tell everyone, enjoy the break, because it's a weird time to be able to switch off for a bit and just focus on life. You know, life in itself has not been its best right now. Everything's going up in price. There's worrying times on the continent. I just say try and find some happiness in things. You know, give yourself a bit of TLC, R&R.
That's very motivational, that, wasn't it? It's true, though. True. I know we get passionate about how shit we can be and how frustrating it is, but it's more important things.
People might listen and get irate on here, but you know, that's part annoyance and part, I don't know, gamesmanship for the podcast.
Passion,
after
isn't it?
This, I'll go home and I'll be a very relaxed person. I'll play with my daughter. You know, we'll be on a little playmat chucking things about. Yeah, I think those are the little things. Just, we've got 17 days off. Go and enjoy the little things. Go and do something you wouldn't normally do. And we can all come back and ask each other what we didn't. I think it's a nice little time for us to switch off for a bit.
And I need to rearrange the pubs we're visiting.
Yeah, we've had some good developments on that front.
Well,
yeah.
We've got some new venues to go to.
No,
I need to get hold of them and just say, look, we're going to have a 2-week break. And
we're definitely going to come back and see the guys we've been at. Obviously, the British Queen, we've been to the Shepherd's Crypt, but we're going to try and do some more. That was sort of the plan at the start, wasn't it? But
We've expanded our pub range, which is good.
And another call, you know, because a lot of people have been messaging us since we said it in the last episode. So, sorry, Jeff. If you do want us to come see you, obviously, it's probably a bit difficult now. I'm sure you've probably got to the end of the season sorted, have you?
I believe we have.
Yeah, but obviously for next season, let's plan ahead. Let's get them booked in. So if you want us to come see you at your pub, I mean, even if it's got a bar, we're there. Food would be great. No, I'm joking. No, we'd love to come see you. So just send us a message on Instagram or Facebook. Also, we're going to try and get our Facebook page running because I noticed we haven't really shouted about that, have we? So three lads in the pub on Facebook.
We tend to do more of our stuff on Twitter, don't we? And it is something we need to do, and get some more fan interaction on. Yeah. And we have set up a YouTube page, but I just haven't had the time to record all the episodes and get them uploaded on there as media files.
Yeah, if anyone's got any off the back of this, any ideas what we can do for the podcast, any features, anything you want to claim credit to, please do let us know. We're all for feedback. If there's anything very good, very nice you want to tell us, Jeff's just going to hate me after that. After another...
I'd say probably one last final thing.
Yeah, go for it.
There are some people at the club who listen to us, maybe some players or whatever. I'd actually genuinely tell the management staff and the playing staff, also enjoy your time off. You know, it's been a long season so far. They get criticism from all quarters, including us. We don't hide from it. But on a human level, we have nothing against any single player on a human level. So I genuinely hope that after several hard months of toil and going back and forth, I hope, you know, anyone who is listening does get to enjoy a little bit of time off and does get to spend some time with their families rather than busting ass on coaches and planes and up and down and here and there. And yeah,
there you go, lads. Pleasure as always. Cheers to Aaron for popping down, having a beer with us at the British Queen, and cheers to the guys here for being great hosts once again. And we will see you for episode 18, Three Lads in the Pub. See you later.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.